This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I don't think there's anything that could happen in tonight's NFL draft that would make the Jets or Giants an all postseason team this year.
I'm going to take it from tonight and expand it through the rest of the draft because that's otherwise I'm not sure that I would feel the way that I feel if I stretch this thing out here. Now, we're all focused on the Giants' new quarterback. Like, when do they find their quarterback? And I get it. That's a obviously very relevant question here. But I think what some people are glossing over is just how eventually dominant I think that this Giants defense is going to become. I don't think it's very far away. And I think if you secure Abdul Carter tonight, which I think that they will, now I think you've got a defense that is not only going to keep you in games, but eventually win you a couple of games. I mean, Sal, they lost last year by three, by five, by three in overtime, another game by three. I do think the quarterback play is going to be better. So I think if the Giants have a good draft in totality, not just tonight.
Yeah. And I meant that, by the way. I should specify.
Okay. Then I think that the Giants will, to the shock of many, will actually be in the wild card hunt. As for the Jets, I think the Jets are a step ahead of the Giants, and if they have a solid draft, O-line, find themselves a tight end, I think the Jets will be a playoff team.
You could tell me more on the Jets, but again, to me, it's less about the draft starting tonight and then obviously through the weekend. I think the Jets have a better foundation in place right now as far as the players and the talent is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And with their quarterback, you know what they're going to try to do with Justin Fields, have him run the football, make some plays there. You know, and see if he could throw the football down the field, which I don't think that he can. But I think the Jets should be somewhat competitive. The draft, you'd hope, would be able to enhance that. But I don't think this draft is going to make the Jets in a way postseason team. I think they'll be around a 500 team at best. Whereas the Giants, I think just we have a fundamental disagreement, you and I. I was higher on them last year. I watched it play out the same way that we all did. I think that they think, and now you think, that they're better than they are. Or closer than they are. I'm not even sure that they're going to get Carter. I hope that that's the case. I want them to get Carter. He's the best player in the draft. I think they'd be lucky if he fell to them at number three. Worry about the quarterback after that, which I think that they would do. I would expect them to worry about the quarterback. They're going to need one. I don't think Russell Wilson's any good. Jameis Winston, I know, is not any good. And I don't think the Giants' defense is as close as everybody else thinks. So Carter will certainly enhance that. But to a level to take them from 5-6 wins to 9-10 wins, which you probably need to get to the postseason, I'm not seeing it.
I haven't felt this way for either team in a while. Remember, you got to understand, Sal, the Jets stuff was always driven by Rodgers, and it was less about the draft for them. Although they nailed it last year with Olu Fashanu, and it was more about, okay, is he the missing ingredient? They've got the receivers, you know, they got this, they got that. Jets are a quarterback away, ready to win. It was never really so much about the draft and the construction or the reconstruction of a team. It was about trying to throw a dart at a board, hope you hit a bullseye, get a little lucky. I really do like the foundation that the Jets have, and yeah, we do disagree. I really like the foundation that the Giants have, and I've been all over them. I can't really remember the last positive thing I've said about the Giants. I really haven't, but, you know, to me, the defense is truly that close. If you're not watching, I'm holding my fingers very close here. Is that close to being, I think, elite?
So then Carter will take them over.
Yeah, and I think he's the only guy. Now,
their corners, I know that they have some promise, but there was regression from Banks last year. I'm not seeing an elite secondary from the Giants.
No, neither am I. But okay. it's all hand in hand. Like, one of the biggest problem with the Giants last year, and I read a quote this morning from an opposing assistant coach where he's like, once Dexter Lawrence left the field, we just knew we're running right up the gut. And what that does is that obviously takes away the effectiveness of corners. And, you know, now it's third and short, and they just kind of bleed you out and you're dead. I think if you get somebody like Carter, I think they will. Or if they were to, because you're not going to take Mason Graham third. But if they traded down, and we've talked a lot about the possibilities of the Giants trading down, and they get somebody like Mason Graham to plug in next to Dexter Lawrence, then I think that solves their biggest issue on defense. And once that biggest issue on defense is solved, now the pass rushers could go eat. Because when you're not getting gashed on fourth and one, third and one, when everything, you know, when the opponent knows that all they have to do with their offense is set you up in a down and distance situation where we got to get a yard, even if it's a long yard or two, we got the horses, you don't. That is an impossible way to play football. You can't win, and the secondary can't do anything.
But didn't you think that the Giants, because I did, and as a matter of fact, I remember having these conversations with you, that we thought going into the year, the Giants' defense was going to be their identity.
Yes, we did, no question.
And it was a disappointment last
year. Because they couldn't stop the run.
Okay, I don't think it was just that.
That's where it starts.
Fair enough, but it happened. I don't believe that one player is going to change that this year. I'm not sure about the coaching defensively. Remember, the Giants have been through some changes here, mm-hmm. most notably Wink Martindale. But anyway, the secondary regress. So then there was some talk about, is it the players or is it the different system? Burns wasn't as impactful as I expected him to be a year ago. Kayvon Thibodeau has never really taken that next step to be a consistent performer. So while they have some names and certainly some talent and some reasons to be hopeful, I don't think that they're close to being that elite defense yet. Now, Abdul Carter can maybe change that because he could be one singular impactful player along with Sexy Dex that can really, now you're talking about two guys mm-hmm. that could wreck a game, but I don't know. It Burns as well, you throw them in there if you get the best version of him, but I don't know that I'm saying that it's going to be good enough to make them a postseason team.
I don't want to sound like a coach because I'm not, and nobody wants to hear that. But honestly, just basic football talk right now. You come out, you're playing the Giants, right?
Yeah.
And you know, they got Burns and they got Thibodeau. We've said what we said about Kayvon. He's good. He's not great. Whatever. We're on the record with that. But he's certainly a fairly skilled pass rusher. And they've got some guys that can go get the quarterback, right? Obviously, Dexter is fantastic. You come out, you play the Giants, you say, okay, we're going to run. And we're not going to put ourselves in third and eight, third and nine, second and 11 because we do a handoff on first and 10, we lose a yard. Now, all of a sudden, when you do that, and again, I'm not sure I sound like a coach here, but when you do that regularly and you can impose your will on the Giants, as all these teams did the last couple of years, what does that do? That renders the greatest strength of the Giants the ability to get after the pass rusher with fast, quick twitch. I always say quick twitch guys.
I knew that was coming.
I know, but it does apply to some of them. You can't sack the quarterback when it's third and one. But when, when it's second and 11 and it's third and eight and it's third and nine, you can pin your ears back and know, they got to throw. Well, now that we know that you're throwing, now we're coming and you can't stop us. And if you have somebody next to Dexter Lawrence that alleviates that double team, dude, the entire defense changes.
Yeah, I hope that they're going to be good. I would expect that they got to be at least a little bit better than what they were. The Giants have been one of the worst teams in football the last 2 years.
No question. Even though, outside of the one good year, I mean, really, last 10 years, they've been one
correct,
of the worst teams.
But if you focus on the last 2 years and with Dable, and even with that, it's not like, their defense is great and they just can't score any points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the offense has stunk, but the defense hasn't been great either. The way that they were in 2015 with McAdoofus when he was running the show, and it was supposed to be an offensive team, but yet they were built on the great defense.
Uh-huh.
And, that to me was a great defense that carried this team on into the postseason. This, I'm not seeing it yet. It's not that it can't happen. I don't think they're as close as you think that they are. And then you go to the other side of the ball where the offense is the best friend of a good defense. If they're not playing from behind, all the points you're talking about.
Yep.
Being able to run the football, maybe keep the defense, give the defense some rest, all those different things. I don't think that they have the ability to do that, even with the upgrade, in their minds, upgrade of Russell Wilson. Because if it is an upgrade, it's an incremental upgrade over what they had last year.
I'm going to simplify this on a comedically juvenile level, right? The Giants, I think, will score more points this year.
Right.
Than last year.
I know.
So I think that's a statement most people would say.
Right.
Okay, that's fair. That's not nuts. He's not out of his mind yet.
Like by accident, they should be able to do that. But,
yeah, true. And then I believe strongly the defense will give up fewer points than they did a year ago. And by the way, make more splash plays and be off the field less, which means they're well-rested, blah, blah, blah. So you score more points, you give up fewer points, you got a better team right away. Just simple math.
Now the other thing about tonight, why are we so sure that Abdul Carter is going to be there? I know it feels like that's the case based on almost every mock draft and what a lot of people are saying, but if we believe the reports of Schrager and Baldy, and there seems to be some momentum that there's going to be a blockbuster deal within the top five, and the three names that were out there would be either Carter, Hunter, or the running back Jenty, then and if we all think that Carter's the best player, and I wouldn't want Hunter if I'm the Giants, I want Carter, are we certain he's going to be there? That could throw a whole wrench into everything. Now, I know you said, trade down and get Mason Graham, which could still help. I think it really does hinge on Carter, where he immediately would help take the Giants to a much better level defensively. And I'm not sure just yet that he's going to be there at number three.
Okay, I think he's going to be there. I almost feel like he already knows that he's going to be a Giant. I can't prove that. I just, the intimations and the wry smiles, I just feel like he knows that, well, not only the Giants going to take him, but I think more importantly for the Giants to be able to take him, that the Browns aren't taking him. I feel like he has an assurance there.
But what if they trade out of two? I guess that would be the way.
That's true. That's a possibility. But I want to throw this at you, or specific to the trade fodder, which it's been presented as big. It's not just, well, you know, listen, we might see some activity here.
No.
It's, you use the word blockbuster. Right. So maybe we're misreading this. Maybe it's not about the players in the draft. Maybe it's about somebody that's already in the NFL that might get dealt tonight.
Well, yesterday there was report about the Jaguars being in there. And it made me think about Trevor Lawrence. Remember, you're trying to put all the pieces together. Schrager comes out and says the number two picks and number three pick, Giants and Browns, receiving calls, and the Giants and Browns both willing to listen to that. And he named the three players that I just referenced before. Then you hear Baldy say top five. Within the top five, he knows something is going to happen. Didn't want to say it yet, but he knows what's going to happen, and he used the term blockbuster. So now you're doing the math. And then last night, I forget what the exact report was, but I read a report about the Jaguars being involved. My first thought was, well, if the Jaguars are involved in a blockbuster, they have the number five pick, so it's not like they're going from 12 or 17 to trade in.
Correct.
You have the number five pick.
Yeah.
What would a blockbuster involving the Jaguars be? And I started thinking maybe Trevor Lawrence would potentially be available.
Who would be the most aggressive pursuer? Because it's a very interesting thought.
Yeah.
Now, he just got paid.
I mean, I don't know. Could it be Cleveland? Probably not because of the quarterback situation with
Deshaun Watson and the dead money. Probably not.
Could it be the Giants because of... I mean, maybe.
Giants. Could you imagine if the Giants traded for Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I would say no because of Russell Wilson, but I mean, maybe the Jaguars are like, you know what? We want to trade up to number two or number three. We'll give you Trevor. I don't know.
Again, reckless speculation based on the way it's been presented.
If you hear Jaguars and blockbuster, how is it possible the Jaguars are going to make a blockbuster move from number five without?
I'm not thinking Travis Etienne, to your point.
Yeah, there's only
one thinking name the quarterback.
Anyway, so that's just more speculation to it here. But I'm not sure, BT, of Carter being there at three. And if he's not, then I think everything is wide open for what the Giants could possibly do. And I also don't think it's going to be the home run that you talked about yesterday where they could potentially get Carter and then trade back in and get a quarterback. And with the quarterbacks, you're hearing Jackson Dart, you're hearing Chuck. I don't think there's any way the Giants get Dart if they pass up on him on number three.
I would probably agree with that, unless they were to trade.
Seven or nine.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, I think he's going to go fairly fast. I just saw another mock. Again, mocks are for clicks and whatever, but you know, take it for what it's worth. Probably a grain of salt, probably nothing, or less than that. But this morning I saw number 26, Shador, going to the Rams. So, you know, his fall seems to be gaining some more steam. Listen, we've watched a lot outside of 2022 with the Giants. Yeah. We have watched a lot of bad football for a long time. And most of these times, going back to when you and I were doing the draft show a couple of years ago, when the Giants had two top 10 picks, the Jets had two top 10 picks. For the most part, now obviously just speaking for myself now, I go into these drafts from a Jets and a Giants perspective saying, all right, you know, I hope they nail it, but really there's nothing that they can do tonight that can elevate my belief in their ability to have a big season. I feel differently this year. I might be nuts. I feel different.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jesse is in Lawrence. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Jess.
All right. So I hear you guys talking about maybe beefing up the Giants' defensive line with Abdul Carter, but if you really believe that the Giants are like one or two steps away from being a playoff team, what do you think about maybe the Giants trading Kayvon Thibodeaux and the third pick of the draft for Myles Garrett? And then the Browns can get Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders and totally revamp their whole team.
You know, Jess, I've seen some. By the way, when I say I'll stand by it, but I think the Giants are a step away from having a great defense. It's more about the defense, and so not that I don't think they can be a playoff team. I do, but I think it's more about the defense, just to be clear. Now, I have heard, and I'm sure you have as well, that Kayvon Thibodeaux's name's been floating around a little bit.
Yeah.
And if the Giants are not compelled to give him that fifth-year deal, and let's face it, I don't think that they should be, then why wouldn't he be on the table tonight? He would be.
Especially if you're talking about drafting Abdul Carter.
I mean, would that constitute a blockbuster?
But what's the
I think it would.
Yeah, but what's the trade? What's the move for?
Well, he said Myles Garrett. I have no idea.
There's
I don't think
Cleveland,
that that's going to be.
Cleveland not trading Garrett. They just signed him. They went through the whole thing where he demanded a trade. Then he's coming back. They signed him. So Cleveland's not trading Myles Garrett. No chance that that's happening. I would be more. There are two keys for me in this draft. Leave the Jets aside for a second because we've talked about it yesterday. Where the Jets are in a nice spot where. They can really do anything. Just pick the best player available. If you don't love somebody, trade down, get more picks, take the best player. There's no clear need for the Jets or, for me, in my mind, one clear pick. You mentioned it. They could go offensive lineman if he's there. If not, maybe you go Tyler Warren.
Yep.
If not, maybe they trade out of it. If they love a quarterback, trade down, love a quarterback, take a quarterback. There's two things at play. Number one, will Abdul-Carter be there at number three?
I believe strongly, yes.
Okay.
Almost guarantee it.
The second one is, how are they getting their quarterback, and who is it going to be? Because you're reading mixed things. Let's eliminate Shedeur Sanders. He's the lightning rod, but let's say that they don't love him. Do you think the Giants like Jackson Dart?
They should.
Okay, I think so, too.
I don't know. I mean, they should.
Who would be your, did we even go over this? Like, your top, our top quarterbacks who you would
I don't know that we did it quite so formally. I like Dart, and I like Jalen Milroe.
Those too.
Are my two guys.
So we're the same boat, based on the stuff that I'm reading about it, same boat. Shuck has been reported for the Giants. I wouldn't do it. I know that they're going to do it, maybe do a project quarterback later in the draft, whatever. Although he seems to be maybe one of the more ready quarterbacks now, saying he could go in and fit a pro-style offense. I would go Dart or Milroe. I don't believe there's any way the Giants can get Dart if they don't take him early in the first round. Meaning, if you are going to trade out of three, it's going to have to be, let's say, top 10 and maybe even before the Saints at nine. I'm not sure Dart gets beyond that. So now it comes down to, we like Milroe. I don't know if the Giants do. And if they do, is he going to be there? And if everybody else likes Milroe and his athleticism, I know some projecting him in the second round or whatever, but maybe if Dart's off the board and maybe the Steelers don't like Sanders, maybe they go Milroe. My point is that the Giants are playing a very dangerous game of chicken where if they don't select a quarterback that they love early enough in the first round, now you could thread the needle and get both, Carter and trade back up and get the quarterback that they love. But if they don't select the quarterback that they love early, he might be off the board.
Well, listen, here's the thing. It's definitely a dangerous game, and it is a little chicken. Understood. But that's what good GMs navigate. You know, that's what all the great franchises do. You don't think that when Ozzie Newsome traded in and for the last pick and got a superstar quarterback that's going to be on the Hall of Fame, you don't think that he was reading the board and, all right, 27th pick, 28th pick, all right, calling up GMs who he's friends with and collecting intel. Hey, Rams, Rams, you're not thinking, no, okay. Get enough information to give him the confidence to continue with his plan? The answer is absolutely yes. It's not like he sat there and he woke up on draft day like Kevin Costner and said, listen, if this guy's, maybe there early in the second round, maybe a couple of hours into the draft, I'll make a call and I'll see if I can swing a deal at 32 and try and get him. This was so well plotted out and so well orchestrated and choreographed because that's what the great personnel people do. And quite frankly, that's why the Jets and the Giants have sucked for so long because their people have been inept and awful at their jobs. And if Joe Shane's going to stick around for a while, how about you be great for once? Don't be good. Don't be average. Don't be bad. Crush it tonight because he's got a chance. He really does. If he reads this perfectly and plays it great, he's got a chance to be here for a decade, and he's got a chance to shoot this thing to the moon.
And I don't trust that he will, nor do I think they're making selecting a quarterback enough of a priority, which is kind of what I'm saying. It's a dangerous game there. All right, we referenced the Melusis tweet the other day talking about keep an eye out for Tyler Shuck for the Giants. I'm hearing that from multiple. I've heard that now from multiple people, whether you want to say industry sources, whatever, behind the scenes. I'm not talking about, like, legit reporters, but I'm hearing a lot about Tyler Shuck. That would not get me excited. Now, at least it's a potential franchise quarterback. I do not believe Tyler Shuck. The guy's been hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Haven't had a lot of...
I also haven't even watched him that much, to be totally honest with you. I've seen the film now more, but...
All right, but
I'm not sitting there on Saturdays watching Tyler Shuck.
No, but even if you were, see, that brings it to a great point, which
But I watched Sanders and I watched Dart.
Okay.
And I watched Milroe.
But still, it's hard for... First of all, they, the NFL people, scouts, front office people, it is their job to get this stuff right. And they watch hours upon hours of film. They actually meet with the players, and they still get it wrong. So for us, we can watch some of the film. Yeah, we're not watching as much as they are. We also aren't getting the chance to meet with them. The reference that I always use, which is why I just give up on trying to evaluate, I could use the things that I like based on what I would value. I think Jackson Dart would be worth a flyer, and Milroe would be my... I'd probably take Milroe over Dart, to be honest with you. I just value the athleticism.
How high would you take him real fast?
I would take him in the first round.
Would you take him like 8, 9, 10, 12?
If I needed the quarterback...
And you like him that much?
I mean, you got to be smart and play the board, but if I'm the Giants and I needed the quarterback, and I do, I would consider trading down and then taking him mid-first round
if
I knew that were the case. Okay. But the example I always use is the Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold draft.
Baker.
Because I remember... That was a huge deal at the time for both New York teams. They both needed the quarterback. They're all these top quarterbacks. So I remember doing a lot more in-depth watching film and watching tape and reading up on guys. And I love Josh Rosen. What my eyes are telling me is this dude is going to be legit. I liked a little bit of the arrogance of the attitude. Mm-hmm. And he was the worst of the bunch. The bust who never made it. So... And again, I never got to sit with him or meet with him. I know you interviewed those guys back in the day, so maybe you get some more insight. So it's hard for us to say who we'd want based on such a small gathering of information.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like what I'm reading about Tyler Shough. That, to me, would be a mistake of a pick.
Yeah, I don't think they're taking it, but who knows? I mean, you know, the thing that I find very interesting, I want to attempt to dispel something. Now, that doesn't mean you guys have to accept it. I get that. But we talk about... scouts getting it wrong, right? And teams getting it wrong by drafting the wrong quarterback. I think that is really inaccurate. And I'll give you a couple of local, and it's very easy to say Geno and Darnold. Well, it's not that the Jets misidentified the talent level of Sam Darnold or Geno Smith. They were unable to properly insulate him, coach him up, and put him in a style that was conducive to his skill set. So the scouts weren't wrong. The projectability wasn't off. It was once they got him, they failed them.
But you have to be able to, so maybe it's not on the scouts, but it's on the organization.
That's where I'm going.
Right, to not identify the right player that they think will fit what they're trying to do. Also, it's about throwing a kid to the wolves, Zach Wilson. Talent that may be worthy of a second round pick. You could question where he comes from and all this stuff, mm-hmm. and his toughness, his mindset. But the Jets set him up to fail. Guess what? He failed. The supporting cast was not there.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive rookie head coach, offensive coordinator.
No O-line, no weapons.
I mean, you actually could not draw up a worse scenario. New York City, rookie year, all those things that you just mentioned. No weapons, no offensive line, rookie head. You could not draw up a worse scenario for a young franchise quarterback that you just drafted. You couldn't draw up a worse one. The Jets perfected how to destroy a quarterback. Perfected it. Now, they've done this multiple times, but that one with Zach Wilson was the most egregious example, which brings us back to the draft. Okay, so not only are you trying to identify the right talent, but who's going to fit in the system? Do you have the infrastructure in place? The Giants specifically have an infrastructure now where the head coach is known to developing quarterbacks, and a quarterback room that is going to be there throughout the course of this year, meaning whoever they draft is not going to play. He's here to learn for a year.
Yeah.
He's not seeing the field. I don't care if it's Shock. I don't care if it's Sanders. Or whatever. The Giants could draft a quarterback. They might not. But if they do draft a quarterback, he's not seeing the field. So we know what the infrastructure is. I don't think it's the right way, though, or the right timing of it for the Giants.
Well, and listen, the added layer of pressure or problem is that the Giants, let's say they do take a quarterback in the first two or three rounds, and I think that they will, hopefully in the first two, they can identify the talent. We like this guy for our system. Giants can go 3-14, which I don't think they will, as I said previous seg, but I think the defense is going to be lights out, especially, like, really good, especially if they get Carter, and then they fire everybody, and the new regime that they bring in, they not exactly a good fit for the system that the new regime brings in, so which would set up a different chain of events, but I just feel different. I feel different about the messaging from the Jets building. It's finally been a very quiet offseason, buttoned up. I feel like they've got a plan. All right, maybe a little arrogant. Aaron Glenn didn't kiss Aaron Rodgers' ass. Too bad. Get over it, Rodgers. And I think the Jets are moving forward professionally. I think they've got a plan, whether it's O-line, whether it's tight end, whether it's trading out. I think they're ready. And the Giants offseason, not a lot of tumultuous moments here at all. It's been fairly buttoned up as well. I think their defense is ready to pop. I do think they get Abdul Carter. And if Joe Shane's on top of his game, I think they get a quarterback that could be here for a long time.
And I think the way that you'd find out if they get a quarterback or not will be what the Saints do at number 9. Because if the Saints don't take a quarterback, And specifically Jackson Dart. Because if they take Sanders, then at least Dart's still in play for the Giants to trade back in.
Mm-hmm.
But the Giants aren't going to trade back in front of the Saints for a quarterback.
Saints won't let them do that.
Okay, right. So if the Giants, that's why I was kind of saying before, if the Giants don't take a quarterback at 3, which we don't believe that they will do, and they don't trade back, you know, within the 6th pick, let's say they trade back to the Panthers, okay, fine, they could still take a quarterback before the Saints. But if you trade back beyond the Saints, you're probably not going to get the quarterback that you would want, which I would assume would be Jackson Dart at that particular point, if New Orleans takes him. If New Orleans goes in a different direction, now the only team that you really have to worry about, you would think, would be the Steelers, right? Maybe other teams want to trade up. I don't know how many teams would be as desperate as the Giants mm-hmm. to trade up. But then you could talk about leapfrogging the Steelers and still get your guy. That would be, the as you talk about, the perfect scenario where Shane could thread the needle, take Carter at 3, hope the Saints don't take Jackson Dart, mm-hmm. trade back in front of the Steelers, and you have your pick still of Dart, Sanders. I don't think Shuck would.
No.
Yeah, Milroe potentially. Again, I don't know if you're going to do that, but you got to think that somebody might be able to bite on that type of athleticism, but that's the path for the Giants to have success.
I know everybody's fired up, so we'll get back to these calls here. I would look at it in a nutshell. I think the Jets need right tackle, tight end, wide receiver, and then for the Giants, D-line, obviously a quarterback at some point, and they need some help on the right side. But very quietly, the offensive line, the Jets and the Giants' own lines are becoming pretty functional.
Eric is calling from Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Yo.
BT and Sal, how we doing, boys?
Good. What's up, man?
I think I could speak for most Giants and Jets fans, where I'm looking forward to the day, if it ever comes, where we're not looking at the draft like it's our Super Bowl and franchise-changing moment each and every single year.
Every year,
and here we are.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a fascinating conversation, and I think it's really interesting to see, you know, the position that both the Giants and Jets are in. And I know, BT, you've shared over the weeks, you know, a couple of times, kind of where your head's at. So I just wanted to get your sense of what we think the Jets might do at 7. And, you know, and to me, it sounds like the chalk pick is Membu. But I'm really interested in 2, which is, you know, Tyler Warren, which we've heard a lot about. Actually, Schrager, I think, has him in his box, or whatever that means.
Yep.
But Jalen Walker, I've heard a lot about as well on the edge side. Who I love, and he's a coach's son, and I've heard him as, like, he's, like, owned these coaching conversations, and the coaches love him, and he's a leader. Uh-huh. And I just feel like under the new regime, he could fit particularly well and make this defense, I mean, have a little bit more bite, which they clearly did not have last year.
I think he's going to fall a little bit. I think he's an outstanding player. I don't think he's going maybe as high as you think he is.
I see him at 15 right now.
That's what I mean. I was going to go mid-teens. Like, there was a point where he was like kind of like 10, 11-ish. And again, these mocks are very fluid, and who the hell knows how accurate they're going to be. Generally, they're not. Listen, the thing about the offensive line, I don't think they're taking him, just to answer you more directly there, okay? The offensive line.
You're saying you don't think they're taking Walker?
Walker. Yeah, okay, they're taking Walker. And that wouldn't excite me. Like, there's years when you got to take defense for sure. The Jets need another offensive line, and they need a weapon down the seam. Now,
So you're okay with either Membu or Warren?
Well, here's the thing. I was going to expand a little bit on the old line here. Yes, I mean, to answer you, I certainly am. I actually prefer Membu. I want him. I don't think he's going to be there at 7. I'm a little worried about that. Now, okay, let's just say that I'm right, and let's say Membu's off the board. Now, there's two other offensive linemen, and only two, that could possibly enter the Jets' radar at number 7, or even if they drop down a couple of slots. One is Will Campbell,
right,
and the other is Kelvin Banks.
Right.
Okay, so I like Banks, and I like Campbell, but this sounds ridiculous, but, like, the real fear is that he's got really short arms. All right, I know that sounds, I mean, come on, man. Are you picking up the check, or are you trying to open up a hole for somebody to get a first down?
No, but no, still. No.
But the thought is, because his arms are so short, they're going to have to kick him to the inside and have him play guard. I'm not drafting a guard at, or I'm not drafting a guard at 8, 9, or 10, unless you're Zach Martin, and he's not. And I'm definitely not drafting, you know, a somebody who's never played the right side, which Membu has. Membu is a clear right tackle, and the left tackle is Olu. Will Campbell is a left tackle. Now, it's not just Ty Warren. It's also Colston Loveland from Michigan here, who is very close to Ty Warren. We talk about the Giants, if they were to get Carter and somehow trade it and get the quarterback, I don't think the Jets could pull this off. But if the Jets ever walked away with, I'll say, Membu or Banks, And it would have to be Loveland because Ty Warren's going to go too high. If they could trade back into the middle of the first round and get the tight end and get
well,
a
bang. How are they going to do that?
Well, you got to get creative. You got to make a trade. You got to give something up.
You can't get.
You're not a trade Breece Hall.
You're not getting.
I'm open to it. You can pay Breece Hall. You got three running backs.
Even so, what do you think Breece Hall is going to go for? You're not going to get the 15th. But you're talking about if Warren
falls. But then it'll maybe a third round pick. I mean, whatever the trade board says. They got this.
You got the same problem that a lot of fans have. They want two players in the first round. You want two first round picks.
Yeah, I do. That would be very nice. But yeah, and I don't think they're going to get that. But I am giving you, I'm giving them, and I think Jet fans are with me, a clear direction and directive. Get an offensive lineman and get a tight end early. I don't really care about the order. Make it happen.
So then I guess the question would be if Membu is off the board, because you've made it clear if Membu is there.
That's the guy that I want at 7.
Yeah, and I would not disagree with that, by the way. Based on what you've said, based on some of the stuff that I read, I could go either way. If they took if they passed on Membu and took Warren, I'd be like, okay, fine. Like maybe this.
I'm not going to go nuts either. Yeah. I'm not. I'm just giving you my preference.
But I would prefer to build inside out. We've been on the record with that. We had this conversation last year. The same exact scenario, offensive line versus tight end. But I just feel like the Jets are in a different spot than they were a year ago. They added the offensive line. Now, it doesn't hurt to do it again. You can never have, to me, too much of an offensive line. But if it's Banks, let's say Membu's off the board, and it's Banks versus Warren, would you be more upset?
I'm taking Warren at that point.
That's what I was,
I'm taking Warren at that point.
And if they went Banks, you'd be upset?
My first choice is Membu. My second choice is Ty Warren. My third choice, honestly, might be Colston Loveland. Might be. The tight end. Like, he's...
You're obsessed with these tight ends.
Because I never have one. Yeah.
Well, you got Kyle Brady. Didn't you take him first round?
Yeah, over Warren Sapp.
Victor is calling from home.
Because he smoked pot.
What's up, Victor?
Hey, guys, how are you? Just a couple of quick points on the Giants. So, first off, not to age myself, but I'm 29. I remember when the Giants were a first-class organization and they believed there were never too many pass rushers.
Those were the days. Yep.
So I completely agree with Abdul Carter at number 3. Now, if he's gone, I think that they should trade down because, listen, BT, I understand your positivity, and I know anything can happen, but it's been a while since the Giants have had a complete roster. I mean, even in 2022, even more so than Daniel Jones, everything went right for them.
I agree with that.
Get as many picks as you can. Trade down. Listen, Mason Graham, if he's still there, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Even, not to poach him away from your Jets. You know, an argument could be made for Warren. I remember when Daniel Bellinger was supposed to be our next tight end.
In 2022.
The Giants cannot take a tight end.
See,
that's where we disagree,
can't
Victor.
Thank you for the call.
I usually don't want a tight end in the top 10 anyway. Kyle Pitts. Oh, he's going to be the best tight end ever, Kyle Pitts. How'd that work out?
He'd go fourth, right?
Go back. Go for anybody out there, this is why this draft talk is such babble. I mean, I know it's a fun conversation. We're sports fans. That's what we do here. But it's such babble. Go back and listen to all the reports, all the reviews, all the mocks about what they said about Kyle Pitts. All of the in-the-know, all the expert reporters, all the teams, see what they said about Kyle Pitts. Best tight end prospect ever, complete game changer, surefire pick. He's going to change any team he goes to. Can't miss. Oh, my God, you got to get this guy. We haven't heard of him since. So enough about the tight ends. That's what happens when you say. Now, it's one thing if you.
By the way, I thought he was going to be. Did you get that from my old Joe? Because how do we say that? I love the guy.
I'm going based on everybody. You go back, everybody
loved
him.
He was, yes. And by the way, four years, 10 total touchdowns for him.
4 years, 10 touchdowns.
I mean, tight ends who have 10, 12, 13 a year.
Fourth pick overall. Now, it's not that teams can't miss in the top five, but when you take a tight end.
Yeah.
If you took a quarterback and it's a bust, hey, at least you took a shot at the quarterback.
Yep.
You take an offensive lineman, didn't work out, okay. Like, we talk about how bad Evan Neal is. I'd rather do what the Giants did taking Evan Neal than do what the idiot Falcons did taking Kyle Pitts. Because it's just not worth it taking a tight end that high. You need to get a position, a premium position.
Yeah.
So the Giants are not in a spot to be doing that.
What if they trade out?
Yeah, that's a different story. I mean, what, but, so now, what, I still wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it either, but let's say somehow Warren's there. Let's say the Giants 15. Trade out to 11, 12, 13.
Yeah, I still think the Giants have deeper needs.
But what if Mason Graham, when he will be, what if Graham's gone and Carter's gone and some of these, you know, the top two or three offensive linemen are gone? What are you doing?
I'd rather take a quarterback. Let's say they love Jackson Dart. I'd rather take him if he's still there at that particular time. I just don't think the Giants are in a position to where they could be rolling the dice on a first-round tight end, whereas the Jets... Remember, they've had the Jets have a lot of talent. They, you know, again, I would like a quarterback, but it's not imperative right now in year one. And I do feel like Tyler Warren, because he's a complete player.
Yeah.
Where he's not just a tight end that's going to be down the seam. That's why I'm more open to him.
Mm-hmm.
Good energy guy, locker room guy, good blocker, help the run game. I don't love the idea of ever taking a tight end in the top 10. I would be okay if the Jets did it with where they're at right now.
By the way, since I know we got a break, maybe we can get into this more coming up. I said something to you before. We hit it for like 15, 20 seconds and moved on. The more I think about this, I'm dead serious. If somebody calls and wants Breece Hall tonight, I'll trade him. I got to get back into this here.
I'm fair enough. I would be open to it. I'm just curious. We'll have more of the conversation.
Yeah, I know we're late, but that is a name that could do something for the Jets tonight.
But then wouldn't you have to replace him?
Well, I got some answers for you. We'll get back to the draft calls here. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. Let me throw this Breece Hall thing at you.
Okay.
So it's about Breece Hall. It's about the situation, but it's also about Justin Fields. Now, and it'll make sense in a moment. Last year... 2 years ago, Justin Fields ran 160 times.
Right.
160 rushes. We know that's what he does best. He's a running quarterback, right? Last year, Aaron Rodgers ran it 22 times. Do the math. That's basically 140-plus rushes in favor of Justin Fields, which means the running backs for the Jets this year will be a little diminished in terms of usage rate because you can only run so many times, and Justin Fields is going to be running a lot, number one. Number two, you've got a very young, cheap, dynamic, talented running back room. Obviously, Breece, you got Braylon Allen, who I love, and Isaiah Davis, who I also really like, and I know the Jets love. Now, Breece Hall's up after this year. If you're not inclined to give him big money, and I would not. I'm not giving him big money.
Because of him or because of running back or where they're at? Because
he ain't Saquon. Like, we can make it out to be, oh, you know what?
Everybody made it out to be like he was the best back in the league.
Well, the way he's, you got to remember, the way he started.
I remember.
I mean, but then he ripped up his knee. I mean, so there's circumstances there.
But then when he came back, everybody was making...
He was averaging over 6 yards a pop, and he was housing it almost every game.
Understood,
he was great before he got hurt in Denver.
But when he went down, people still thought he was going to be the best back in the league when he came back.
With no rust or anything like that? Like, just automatically the same guy? Yeah. Well, he hasn't been. Yeah. So if those people thought that, I didn't necessarily think that. I was intrigued to see what he would be. But it's now 3 years in a row where the production's gone the wrong direction. Attributable to injury, usage, O-line, I don't know. But he's not cutting up the league like we thought that he would. Bottom line, I'm okay with trading him. I don't need him. I'd like him. I don't need him to be a piece of this team moving forward. If somebody calls me tonight based on Fields running a lot this year and Allen and Davis and what Hall is going to cost at the end of the season, why in the world would you not move him if you could get something you really need tonight or this weekend?
But what do you think you're getting in return for him? For all the reasons you just mentioned, why would somebody be like, oh, yeah, I'll go take Breece Hall for what? What's the value?
Well, number one, they might think that he is very closer to retaining what he had early in his career, which I don't think is a crazy thought. They probably have a better offensive line as well, so you spring him loose a little bit more.
What were they going to get that they turned down to trade Saquon a couple years ago?
You mean the trade deadline?
Yeah.
I don't recall.
Third round pick?
I feel like it may have been third or fourth.
Okay. So,
I think.
So let's just use that as a rough outline. Now, I know running backs are back on the up, being valued a little bit more, but... What do you like? Realistically, would you trade Breece Hall for a fourth rounder right now?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, so and I don't think you're doing any better. Than
I would
that.
Not
could
do
be
that.
Wrong.
But here's how you do better. Here's how you incentivize somebody to make a trade. Number one, they've got to really want Breece Hall. If they do, that changes the entire complexion. It's one thing for the Jets to proactively try to trade him. I'm not necessarily saying that. What I'm saying is, if somebody's calling them aggressively, which I think that somebody has or will. Then there's a way to attach a draft pick to Breece Hall. So instead of getting a fourth round pick, maybe you get a third or, you know, probably not a second, but maybe you get something better than that.
Would you trade him for a third?
I probably would.
I don't know the value, what Breece Hall would warrant getting back. I would think more a fourth round pick at best. But if it were a three, I think that that's a fair thing to say. Okay, well, if I offered you a three, would you trade Breece Hall? You'd say yes. I still probably wouldn't do that just because I think the potential of Breece Hall, I like the idea of combining a great running game with a great running quarterback.
Yeah,
because that's going to be the focal point. You're trying to run the damn football.
Which is why I really want the Jets to get an O-lineman, and that's why I've been saying that for a while here. Hopefully they get that tonight. But listen, if Breece Hall had a couple of years to go in his contract, I'm not saying this. I mean, it really, what's forcing me, and I think them, to reevaluate this here is if they, I don't know, if they don't trade him, are they going to give him big money? And I don't think the new regime would. So you're going to miss an opportunity to maybe get something back for him and that and then not resign him? That would not be wise football.
There are a lot more questions with the Jets organization than just what Muji's going to do with the draft tonight about a lot of these players moving forward. We talked about it, not only the fifth-year option, but beyond that, with Sauce Gardner, with Garrett Wilson.
And even Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, so that's right. They said they picked up the fifth-year option on these guys. But as far as the long-term contract.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Evan and Tika will be doing their show live from the Dream Bar at the American Dream Mall today. So make sure you check that out. Those guys will be out there starting at 2 o'clock. They'll probably be a little bit before there. You want to get there, take pictures, bother them for autographs, all that stuff. Tiki specifically. Just go right to Tiki. Pictures, autographs, all that stuff.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, if you could get either Tiki's autograph or Evan's autograph, which one are you going to do?
I might go for Lukey at this point.
Yeah.
Biggest star on the show. I'm just kidding.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Pete is in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Ring. You hear that stupid thing? Go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
Jets and Giants fans, all we want is just sustained success, right? The good teams, they go through 3 to 5 year cycles of success, then like two lean years, then you're back and being successful again. We haven't, the Giants had that a little bit in the 90s into the, 2010s. The Jets haven't had that ever, but I'm past that for the Jets. All I want is frisky and fun. Can you keep me engaged past Halloween? For the first time in, like, my entire life.
It's the wrong attitude, Pete.
No, I like that attitude.
I hate that attitude. That's a loser attitude.
But my point is, my point for the draft, I think that the three big offensive linemen are going to go to the Patriots, the Jaguars, and the Raiders ahead of the Jets. I think they're going to be off the board. With that in mind, take Warren. Don't look back. To me, he's a Brock Bowers-type prospect. You have Justin Fields for at least this season, maybe the season after. There is a slim possibility the Jets could unlock what he was supposed to be with the first overall pick at Justin Fields. Just be fun and draft to have a fun team. And that means Warren, and you know what? He'll be sitting there. Maybe Jaunty is an option, especially. I'm not opposed to trading Breece Hall, BT.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can get, maybe there's a team, maybe the Ravens.
That's
maybe
the first
Chiefs.
Thing you said that I agree with, that we agree with, which is fine, but you lost me twice, Pete. You didn't say it once. You said it twice about an entertaining team. What entertaining team? Yeah, that's nice, provided the entertainment leads to wins. I'm past being entertained. And listen,
well, you haven't either.
Well, I understand that, so I'm going to change my tune here and try a different chapter, Sal. And Pete, I love the call. I hear you, man. It's been a rough go. I get it, man. But that is why, unlike previous years where I've been against the lineman, I want Mo, get me the sexy receiver, get me the tight end, get me this guy. Just get me a guy that can move somebody back a foot to get a yard or a couple of inches to get a first down.
Well, you've seen that the other way didn't work, going out there and getting all these top sexy picks. You need to build inside out. But the Jets should be on their way to doing it.
I'm going to throw my phone through the
wall. What's
this
going
damn ring.
Put it on silent.
I don't know how.
What do you mean you don't know how? There's a little button on the side.
I know. It's
silent.
A new phone, though. Now, look, I just tried to do it. I took a picture.
Oh, okay.
God.
You tried to shut it off.
Yeah, I tried to shut because now they're cutting my grass. Every time the mower moves past the three cameras.
Okay. I got it. Hey. Yeah, just put that thing on mute. Come on.
I'm trying to, buddy. I'm taking pictures instead.